Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is John Tamney, who is an economist with FreedomWorks, freedomworks.org. He's also the author of a book called The End of Work. And we're going to focus on the Trump administration and the economy. And there's even a gentleman that works at FreedomWorks, Steve Moore, who is under consideration for a Federal Reserve position within the Trump administration. John, thanks so much for joining us on this program.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sure. And by the way, before we get into the focus, which is the Trump economy, since I mentioned you wrote this book, The End of Work, why don't you explain what that means, that title?
Oh, well, it's actually a very optimistic book. My thesis in the book is that as prosperity grows, our work ethic doesn't decline. In fact, it skyrockets. And it does simply because work, the richer a country is, the more wealth there is, the greater the odds of people doing work that is commensurate with their skills. We have people in the U.S. today, there's 20,000 plus Fortnite coaches. In the 1970s, chef wasn't even a professional qualification. Now it's something very ambitious people do. We have professional dog walkers who earn in the six figures. We have quarterback coaches. We have assistant coaches who used to make $25 a week who now earn millions. The point is, with growth, people get to do work that they love. And so I'm saying the end of work, as in more and more
drudgery.
People will get to do something they can't get enough of on a daily basis.
Yeah. So we ought not to fear automation. Automation is our friend.
Oh, automation's beautiful. It's the greatest friend of the America of workers ever, simply because all automation does is remove the disagreeable aspects of work so that we can specialize. And when we get to specialize, our odds of doing something that really reinforce our skills grow. 150 years ago, most of us had no choice. We were going to work on a farm. Thank goodness for automation that freed us from a career path that probably doesn't suit most of our skills, and this freed us to do things that are more commensurate with what we want to do.
All right. Now, there's a huge divide in America, no question about it, politically and even culturally, when it comes to this major issue, big government versus market-driven approach. The Trump economy, it would seem to me, is trying to work towards that market-driven approach. And there's a gentleman that works with you, FreedomWorks. I know him personally. I've interviewed him a few times. Tremendous economist, Steve Moore, used to write for the Wall Street Journal, does some work with Heritage as well, but also is with FreedomWorks. Now he's under consideration for a position within the Trump administration. But before we get into Steve Moore, talk a little bit about the Trump economy and his approach and what he's trying to do.
Well, the Trump economy seems to be growing, and with good reason. I thought the tax cuts were not nearly large enough, and I thought they were not focused enough on reducing burdens on the rich. I say this because economic growth is driven by investment, and the rich have the most to invest. If you want the most growth, you reduce the burden on those most capable of investing it. So I thought they weren't large enough, but the Trump administration has been good on regulation. The statistics we have at FreedomWorks say that for every new regulation, 22 have been repealed or lapsed. So very good there. The trade issue is not appealing to me. I think that individuals trade, and the more they're able to trade, the more they're able to improve. And so I haven't liked that. But then the dollar has been largely a good thing. Presidents generally get the dollar they want, and so Trump has largely stayed away from talking down the dollar, which is talking down the earnings of every American. So I think that's been an unsung driver of the success of the economy. And so Steve broadly agrees with me on that. We're not in agreement as much on trade anymore, but I think overall the Trump administration has had a do not has had somewhat of a stay away from damaging it approach, and that's good. When people are free, they tend to prosper.
Okay, Steve Moore is an economist, as I say, Wall Street Journal, went to a great grade school. I'm just joking because I went to the same one in suburban Chicago. Yep. Yes. Saints Faith, Hope, and Charity. So, Winnetka, Illinois. So, and by the way, the guy that's on NCIS Los Angeles, Chris O'Donnell, he went to the same grade school. Wow, must be something to it. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But tell us about Steve Moore and what role is he under consideration for?
Well, they have nominated, the nomination is not official, but it's known to be official. They've nominated Steve for a Fed governor spot. You know, my view is that the Fed's superfluous. I think its role in the economy is vastly overstated. But I'm excited about the nomination simply because the accepted wisdom inside the Fed is that economic growth causes inflation. As in, the Fed, the prevailing view among the economists there is that the more people working and prospering, that's a risk that will lead to an inflationary breakout. There's no economic evidence supporting what is absurd, but that's what's believed there. And so I like the idea of Steve being in there to essentially challenge the conventional wisdom.
All right. Let me ask you this. When it comes to some of the politicians on the left, for example, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's saying, look, nobody needs to make more than, what was it, $10 million or $90 million. You know, after a while, it adds up to real money. But basically, she's talking about, you know, people should be taxed really, really high if they make a lot of money. And the polls seem to indicate that this resonates with a majority of Americans. Comment on that.
I'm not buying the polls. If Americans were moving in this direction of collectivism, you'd see it in a major decline stock market indices. You'd see it in massive outflows of wealth from the United States. AOC is a local politician. She's a local curiosity. I think our side gives her way too much attention. If it were possible for a politician to have that much power, thank goodness they don't, Republican and Democrat. But if she could get her way, that'd be highly damaging simply because the rich power the world forward. For one, their innovations change our lives and improve our living standards. Who would want to live in a world without people like the late Steve Jobs, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, or Phil Knight of Nike? Imagine a world without them. But remember also, the rich, by virtue of getting rich, have enormous sums that they can invest. Jeff Bezos is a very big-time investor. And so if government were to take control of all this wealth, future wealth creation would be much less prevalent simply because the rich uniquely have the means to put money to work. For me, if I've got an extra $10,000, I've got to put it in blue chip stocks. But for a rich person, they can invest in companies that have high potential but also have high odds of failure. That's where you get progress.
Isn't that interesting? Now, along these same lines, Elizabeth Warren, a potential political candidate for the presidency, she said something recently along the lines of, we need to go ahead and appropriate money from the wealthy, and not only money, but not only just tax earnings or things like that, but actually take some of their property from them and hand it over to the state. That's kind of scary to me.
It's scary stuff, but believe me, I plainly disagree with it. I think the quickest way to stimulate growth in the economy is to reduce the tax burden on the rich. I get so mad when Republicans talk about middle-class tax cuts simply because they won't achieve anything in terms of prosperity. And that's the case because if you give me a tax cut, I'm going to spend it. I've got bills to pay. You give Jeff Bezos a major tax cut, he's going to invest it. That's where you get the progress. I'm not scared of Elizabeth Warren simply because I think she's a creation of the wealth that she claims to disdain. Think about it. If the U.S. were a poor country, would Bernie Sanders and AOC and Elizabeth Warren have any kind of notoriety? No. They would be utterly irrelevant. They are an effect of massive American prosperity. And so I view them as just a positive signal about what a rich, prosperous, opportunity-laden country we are. When you have that kind of wealth, there's going to be ankle biters like those three politicians. I would add that if you and I were to, if we were dictators and we could impose our view of the world, which I presume would be much more limited government, prosperity would be exponentially greater. And I bring this up simply because there'd be many more of these AOC types if that were the case. They are a creation of the wealth they disdain. They're just opportunists. I don't take them seriously. We have divided government. They'll never get their way.
Venezuela. Can we learn something from Venezuela? I mean, when we see the policies that somebody like Bernie Sanders is touting, I can't help but think, wow, didn't they kind of try that in Venezuela, which went from one of the wealthiest countries of Latin America, and now it's a basket case?
Yeah, you know, look, it's a lesson, and Venezuela is a disaster. It's a reminder of what happens when government grows too much, when it expropriates precious businesses from the experts who are actually running it. Still, when I hear people say, hey, you know, if Hillary Clinton gets elected, we're a few years away from Venezuela, or Donald Trump gets elected, or Bernie Sanders gets elected, we're going to be Venezuela soon, I really get mad and I think, how dare you insult the United States by talking that way? If the U.S. could be broken by Trump, Sanders, or Elizabeth Warren, it's not worth saving in the first place. But I'm sorry, we're made of much sterner stuff. Furthermore, we have divided government. No politician, thankfully, ever can be that powerful simply because we have separated powers in the U.S. And so I think it's a mistake when we say, hey, we don't get serious, we're going to become Venezuela. No, we're not. We're not going to become that because that's not who we are, and that's not how our government is designed.
I'm surprised that you would put Trump in the same category. Why do you do that?
Because there's a reason why some people said that if ahead of 2016, that if Trump were elected, we could be Venezuela soon. Some people who said if Hillary Clinton were to be elected, we would be Venezuela soon. I don't like people insulting the United States that way, saying that one person could wreck this great nation. I don't think it's serious. I would be optimistic even if Bernie Sanders were elected, even though I disagree with him on everything. I think the U.S. is the greatest country on earth, and I know that if by some egregious error the electorate voted Sanders, we would come back and we would vote in more Republicans to block everything that he does. I think the U.S. is so much greater than one person, and I get so mad when people say that one person could ruin us. That's not how I see this country. It's much better than those who would insult it that way.
You have a quote, economic growth is the enemy of rising prices, not an author of them. Economic growth is the enemy of rising prices, not an author of them. Please unpack that quote. And by the way, we have about a minute left.
Well, because economic growth is not driven by consumption, as economists will tell you. It's driven by investment. And so what is investment? It's just putting more resources behind workers so that they can become exponentially more productive. Think how much more productive we are today versus the year 2000 when most internet was dial-up. And so every time there's investment, we're able to produce more and more. And you see it in goods and services. The first laser printer costs $17,000. The first mobile phone costs $4,000. Flat screen TVs used to cost $25,000. Now they're cost a few hundred. The point is economic growth drives down the price of everything. This runs counter to what's believed at the Fed, and that's why I'm excited about someone like Steve Moore. He will challenge the conventional wisdom that says prosperity is the driver of rising prices. It's not. It's the biggest enemy of rising prices. It's a sign that the cost of most everything is declining.
Wow. I appreciate your optimism. Again, we've been talking here with John Tamney, an economist. He is the author of the book, The End of Work. And you can find all of his works at freedomworks.org. John, thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks. Bye-bye.